You're listening to Class Eclectic here on Public Radio 90 WNMU. I'm Kurt Hosworth on the phone with a couple of special guests today to talk about an adaptation of one of Grimm's fairy tales into an opera. We're speaking with librettists Becky and David Starobin this morning. We're talking about The 13th Child, which is a newer opera in two acts. First of all, welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on the line today to talk about this. So when I first heard about this project, it kind of made me think a little bit about the Grimm's fairy tales of the past. This is an adaptation of The 12 Brothers, but in this case it's adding a 13th child. So what can you tell us maybe in kind of a short form about the tale, the original tale of this, and maybe how this is expanded?
Well, the Brothers Grimm wrote the story, The 12 Brothers, about a king who's going mad, thinking that his 12 sons are about to try to usurp his throne. And he says, if the child that his wife is bearing soon is a girl, he will kill all the boys. And the girl is the 13th child.
And now this tale is about that quest for that 13th child, the princess, to find the other brothers. So with this tale and with the history behind it, what's it like to be the librettist in this case for an opera based on this? And how do you set the voices and how do you set all these characters? It's kind of an open-ended question, but what are some of the challenges of adapting a work like this for voices?
Well, they're twofold, I think. The easy part for us was that we were writing words for a composer, Paul Reuters from Denmark, whose music we knew very well. And so a lot of the imagery that we wrote and the characters that we chose to emphasize in the tale, and we added a few and subtracted a few from the Brothers Grimm, all of the characters felt as if they would fit into the world of Paul's music. And so we wrote our music or our words with his music in mind, and that was easy. The tougher part, I think, was taking a story that sort of lies flat on the page. It's perhaps only 3 or 4 pages long, and we had to translate it into action that would last about an hour and a half. So that task led to us giving personalities to these characters that I think are maybe more reflective of our own particular viewpoint and philosophy and ideas for this story than the Brothers Grimm. So I don't consider it an adaptation of their story. I consider it an opera based on characters in their story.
And I'm sure that leads to the importance of how you come together with setting these texts and setting this story to music. Is this a fairy tale for our age? How would you compare maybe how an original reading of this would compare to how someone now in 2019 could see this in an opera form?
Well, there's a very strong element of women searching in this story. There is the queen who sends her daughter off searching for her 12 brothers, and the princess who goes to find them to unite the family. And it's very much a story of family.
And also, as Becky alluded to, these female characters who I think in addition to the story elements, which is the search for the brothers and the elements that came directly from the fairy tale, there is also this search for an ability to assert themselves as people, as full human beings. And particularly in the Princess Lyra, the main character of the opera, it's a little bit of a struggle for her along the way. And I think what she ultimately has to do in the second act of the opera is she has to defeat a spell, which is that she must be silent for 7 years. And that is metaphorically sort of an interesting spell that also relates to the reality of female characters finding their voice. And I think she does that throughout this opera. Her music reflects that also. It starts off and she has a very powerful aria at the end of the first act, but in the second act, her search really, really continues and finds very lyric voice in the music.
And I take maybe that aria you're speaking of at the end of the first act is Oh Mother?
It is, yes.
Yeah, and I listened to that as well, and that's a very powerful piece there. Speaking of the full human, you know, the people that are involved, what's it like to collaborate with your soloists and the cast overall for an opera of this work? Do you get opportunities to maybe bounce ideas on the settings, or is this kind of, okay, we're going to take the music we have from Paul, and then it's going to be applied that way? What's the collaboration process like?
Well, it's extensive, and I should divide it into two categories. There was the recording, which I ended up getting more involved in than I had planned when one of our conductors or our conductor of the orchestra could not show up at the recording session at the last minute because his wife had just gone into labor. And so I had to assume the orchestral conducting, and that led to really conducting all of the voices, which were added later on in this recording. So that was, you know, very practical, the element of making music from a score, people doing it for the first time, as this music had never been performed before. The second aspect of it, it's really hard to separate it, but we just came back from Santa Fe, where we watched a production of the opera go up on stage for the first time. And there, we didn't have anywhere near the control that we had as producers and conductor of a recording. There, we gave our opinions and worked as collaboratively as we could with our director, Darko Trzeźniak, who was wonderful and great to work with.
And speaking of that world premiere, this has been a summer of premieres for this opera. It started on July 27th, and you've had some opportunities as well in this month of August to have this opera kind of go out into the world. I'm sure that feels pretty good.
Oh, it's been very fulfilling for us.
Tomorrow night is the last of the performances at Santa Fe, and it's really been glorious to see it come to life.
I'm sure. And with that, just a reminder, we're speaking with Becky and David Starobin. They're the librettists of The 13th Child. That's an opera in two acts that kind of takes the grim fairy tale of the 12 brothers, and it's set for opera and operatic voices with a premiere at the Santa Fe Opera. Are there any pieces within this opera that you think would be good for highlighting, besides Oh Mother, which seems like a very good conclusion to the first act?
Well, I happen to love that there are three that come to mind. There is the funeral scene, which is the big choral number in the piece, and that's a very slow processional. There is a comic number, I think it's called the food song, in the second act, and that's about as close to a pop-ish kind of Broadway score as the opera gets. It's very humorous, and then there's a very dramatic aria by the evil Drokon in the first act. I think it's called, maybe it's called Drokon's
Plight,
and that's very powerful. And all four of those are very different kinds of music from the composer.
Is there anything else that either of you two would like to add about the process of setting the text, working with Paul, and putting this opera all together?
It's been really an adventure to work with David. We would come home after work and the two of us would sit down and just start writing every evening. It was quite an amazing adventure together.
Yeah, I would say it's a true test of a marriage to see if you can sit in the same room and create a libretto together and come out still husband and wife. So we're survivors.
Yeah, and it sounds like you two are pros at that at this point, and I'm sure that does nothing but help a marriage in the long run.
I think so. I think that's right.
Well, Becky and David, it's been a pleasure to talk to both of you today about The 13th Child. Again, it's an opera setting of the music of Paul Reuters and the grim fairy tale The 12 Brothers. This is called The 13th Child, though, that quest for the princess to find her 12 brothers. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
You're welcome, Kurt.
Thank you.